The Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Monday, February the 7th. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Boggs?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Haynes?
Here.
Hawks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Job?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Mockler?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Northrup?
Here.
Peck?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions?
Here.
Townsend?
Here.
Vasey?
Here.
Von Flatern?
Here.
President Larson?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Father Crunkleton.
Let us pray. Lord God, today we move into the second half of this session, and today is the last day of the Committee of the Whole. Be with us as we seek to do the work of the people and keep us focused on our task as we seek to complete as much as we can. When the demands and pressures upon us seem overbearing, let us not forget that you are there as our support. In the prophet Isaiah, you remind us that we are so precious to you that you have carved us upon the palm of your hand. Do impart a portion of your Holy Spirit upon us so that we might be gifted with wisdom and understanding, counsel and fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Watch over also our families from whom we must be away and keep them in your providential care. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 4th, 2005, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Johnson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day, I don't see him here, but our doctor for the day is Dr. Brandon Isaacs of Casper. Our nurses for the day are Peggy Visanson and Bev Jensen from the Wyoming State Hospital in Evanston. Welcome to the Senate. Thank you for your service. Our thought for the day. Timing has a lot to do with the outcome of the rain dance. House bills on first reading. House Bill 139, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 139, driving under the influence penalty, sponsored by Representative Hinckley, and act relating to motor vehicles. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 55, noes 2, excused 3.
House Bill 139 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 248, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 248, Minors Possessing Alcohol or Controlled Substances, sponsored by Representative Harshman, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading by the following vote, ayes 57, noes 0, excused 3.
House Bill Number 248 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 44, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 44, National Guard Education Assistance Trust Fund, sponsored by Representative Walsh, an act relating to the Wyoming National Guard, passed the House on an amended form on third reading by the votes indicated, ayes 44, noes 15, excused 1.
House Bill 44 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 5, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 5, Severance Tax Distribution, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, passed the House on an amended form on third reading by the vote indicated, ayes 57, no 0, excused 3.
House Bill Number 5 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 222, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 222, Indian Gaming Compact, Authority to Negotiate, sponsored by Representative Miller, an act relating to Indian gaming, passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated, ayes 57, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill Number 222 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 156, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 156, simulcasting of paramutual events, sponsored by Representative Martin, an act relating to paramutual wagering, passed the House on an amended form on third reading, ayes 49, noes 10, excused 1.
House Bill Number 156 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 171, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 171, Homeland Security Amendments, sponsored by Representative Edwards, an act relating to Homeland Security, passed the House on in an amended form on third reading, ayes 57, no 0, excused 3.
House Bill 171 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 291, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 291, Office of State Lands and Investments, sponsored by the Management Council, an act relating to the administration of government, passed the House in an amended form on third reading, ayes 42, no 17, excused 1.
House Bill Number 291 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill Number 194, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 194, Surplus Medication, sponsored by Representative Hastert, an act relating to pharmaceutical drugs, passed the House in an amended form on third reading, ayes 59, no 0, excused 1.
House Bill Number 194 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
February the 4th, 2005, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 120, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, DiCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Haynes, Chairman. Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to to whom was referred House Bill 76, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, DiCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Haynes, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senate File 41, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File number 41, Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Account, sponsored by the Travel Committee.
We do have some amendments. Second reading amendment number one. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File number 41, second reading amendment number 1 to substitute bill number 1, page 1, line 8.
The Cooper Amendment, Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I just had to find it.
Mr. President.
Oh, Mr. President. Okay. Mr. President, I move, third reading amendment number one to Senate File 41. Mr. President, this is the amendment that I had withdrawn on Friday, and this just kind of changes the language somewhat to so that it wouldn't be a double, triple negative grammatically. That's what it does, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And this sounds fine. It does read well, and certainly there is no intention whatsoever in any provision in this act to undermine existing law with regard to the mineral estate. And if this gives people comfort, then obviously no problem at all, in my opinion, sticking it in.
Further discussion on the amendment. The question is second reading amendment to Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is passed. Second reading amendment number 2. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 2 to substitute bill number 1, page 12, line 18.
The Massey Amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41 and request that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, this is an attempt to come to a compromise with regard to the amount of money that we have in the bill. The original bill had $75 million from the budget reserve account. The Appropriations Committee reduced that by $60 million down to $15 million, which is where it is at presently. This amendment would bring it back up to $45 million, or otherwise halfway between what it started at and what it is at this particular point. Or in other words, it would add $30 million to the bill. Mr. President, I think that this would certainly give the Wildlife Trust Fund the kind of start that it needs. I think that it still would require some additional funding and contributions in the future, but what a $45 million trust fund would generate after about 15 months would be roughly about $2 million a year in interest, maybe a little bit above that. And then when you deduct the rather modest amount that it's going to take to administer the board and the staff, then it comes out to about $2 million or a little bit less than that. And that's a substantial amount of money. It would allow this board, as well as this act, to have a significant and a worthwhile impact on the preservation of wildlife in Wyoming. And I would urge the body to adopt this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, I guess at this point I have questions about bringing it, increasing the amount until we get the profile. The profile will be out this morning. They're still working on it to to see just where we're at the end of the work on Friday on the budget bill. And my only concern then is what that bottom line will show on the profile. And we still have the third reading to make adjustments either one way or the other, as you so choose. But we still don't have a profile and know exactly where we may be at this point.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand in opposition to this amendment. I think $15 million is a very good start. I think we need to walk before we can run, and I think it would be prudent if we left it at $15 million so we can grow up with this thing. Thank you.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Senator Massey.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. President. I don't think that $15 million is a sufficient amount. If we're going to use the analogy of walking before we're running, at $15 million, we may be closer to crawling before we're walking. But certainly, if that's what the body decides at the end of third reading tomorrow, that $15 million is what we should have in it, then let's pass the bill through. It's not a deal killer. $45 million, though, is good. It's a substantial amount. I think that we're going to find from the goldenrod that there's plenty of money in the budget reserve account in order to cover this. So we can deal with this question today, or we could deal with it on third reading tomorrow.
Any further discussion? The question is, Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 2. This does increase expenditures. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Haynes?
No.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job? Johnson?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler? Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
No.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing?
Peck, aye.
Peck, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Closing. Vote closed. 10 ayes, 20 noes.
By your vote, second reading, amendment number 2 has failed to pass the Senate. Second reading, amendment number 3. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 3 to substitute bill number 1, page 5, line 21.
The Jennings Amendment, Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, thank you. I move the second reading amendment number 3, move and dispense with any further reading. Basically, what this amendment does is it takes the ability away to go out and buy P-title acquisition and real property. This doesn't mean that you can't have it. What it means is that we're going to keep the balance of what the state is going to go out and buy with the public and private land, which is, you know, running right there about the 50-50 mark. So it'll keep us from becoming states like Nevada, where there's a big chunk of it. You can still receive land if it's a grant or a donation. So if you have a ranch or somebody that wants to put their land in there, but they want to sell it rather than donate it, then the way that you would get that land into the program, would you find a group that would buy the ranch and then donate it? But there has been prohibitions in the past through our land department about acquiring more land. You know, those rules are not intact right now, but we have looked at this in the past, and this bill could, as we discussed on the first reading with the committee of the whole, that this could turn into a land grab situation. And one of the examples was used as look at what we can do. We can sell our land, have it improved, and then charge to come fish on it or something like that. And this is what we're moving to protect that. This is a good bill. We can work a lot with wildlife and habitats and everything on this, but I think that ownership of land by the state is a problem that we're getting into. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've dealt with this same issue on first reading and turned it down, and I hope that we do the same on second reading. Mr. President, in taking a look at what it's going to be inserted into the bill, it's over here on page 5, after line 21. And this provision allows the board to acquire terrestrial or aquatic habitat only when existing habitat is determined critical or is in such minimal amounts and acquisition presents the necessary factor in attaining or preserving desired wildlife or fish population levels. I think that's pretty critical, Mr. President, because if we deny the board the ability to buy land, and that's the most cost-efficient and effective way to preserve, and it may even be the last step, to preserve an important part of our wildlife population, the alternative then may be other very expensive, more expensive mitigation measures, or it indeed may be allowing a species to go on the endangered species list. And then it becomes extremely expensive, as well as burdensome for both the private entity as well as for the people of Wyoming. In addition, Mr. President, exactly whose rights are we protecting with this amendment? We've heard that 54% of the state of Wyoming now is in public hands. This board, even with the kind of minimal acquisition that they may engage in, isn't going to change that percentage one way or the other. But what we are doing, if we were to pass this amendment, is that we are taking away the rights of that private landowner to be able to make it her or his decision on what they want to do with their property. I think that there's an amendment coming a couple further down here that we're going to be considering in a few minutes that may be a more measured approach than this. So that I would hope that we would turn it down, not only because of the preservation of property rights, but also we want to keep an effective tool in dealing with wildlife populations.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor has his second turn. Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, I'm deeply concerned about this amendment because I think it does remove a good deal of the effectiveness of this bill. And recall the discussion we had in Committee of the Whole when the homesteaders were homesteading this state. They naturally took the best land first. And that includes some of the best habitat. So a lot of the best habitat is in private hands. And where you need to preserve it, to preserve a species, to preserve some of the hunting and fishing opportunities broadly, there may be some occasions where you want to be able to buy the land and you have a willing seller. What's wrong with a willing seller being able to sell his land to the government? You know, one of the problems we're going to have is increasingly the state is coming under the ownership of wealthy individuals and corporations from out of state because the land prices have gotten so high you can't afford to buy them and then establish a ranch and do what some of us have done and pay off that ranch with the earnings from it. You can't do that anymore. And we're going to increasingly seeing parts of this state locked up where the public doesn't have access for hunting and fishing. And I get concerned about amendments like this that remove a potential tool for dealing with it. So I would urge us to defeat this amendment.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, I'll speak in favor of the amendment because mainly this allows, as I understand it, then anyone can donate that land, or if there's a group that thinks that's important, they can pay for that land. But as a private landowner, when you have to, if there's some land that comes up for sale or that would fit into another operation, and you have to bid against the state government or state agency, well, you're pretty well out of luck. It almost eliminates the private aspect of it. So I think we should leave that option open. It doesn't restrict that land from being bought or being transferred. But if it's that important, well, then we have a lot of groups that normally have the funding that would donate. And it would keep the individual then from having to go up and bid against the state of Wyoming, of which that individual is a taxpayer in the state, and then also have to bid against him if he's trying to increase his own private operations. And I think we find this in other areas, not only out in the country, but also in cities and towns where the government after a piece of property and there's other interests that are interested in that property, and when they have to bid against the state, well, that's pretty well eliminate that individual because in most cases they just don't have the finances.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, the federal government uses, through the Wildlife Habitat Enhancement Program, uses easements very effectively to where they can protect the habitat, and they do that through a limiting the access in those areas, and they're fenced off, the habitat is improved, and they do it without having to purchase the land. So there's a lot of options out there without actually having to take fee title simple and to get what has to be done as far as habitat improvement.
Further discussion? Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would speak against this amendment. I don't think it would be the right to buy land would be used very often, but once in a while it could be of critical importance. If you can think of, there are a few specific choke points where wildlife migration routes are go through the tiniest of spaces that have high value, both to developers and to private landowners, but also in terms of wildlife heritage. I think through the Pinedale area, I've read where that both the elk herd and the antelope herd, go through this is the tiniest of space in their migration of several hundred miles. It's supposed to be the biggest migration, I guess, in the continental United States of animals. You know, if there was just no other way but to buy enough land through there for those wildlife to get through, and if easements didn't work, if nothing else worked, I'd like to have that tool in the toolbox. I really don't think it would be used very often because, frankly, it's not a good idea for the state to buy land in general, but we have to have that tool. Mr. President, I think just once in a while you need this and you need it above everything else. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I too rise in opposition to this amendment. First of all, unless we change our easement laws, this would preclude easements, or it could preclude easements. You have to have ownership in order to do an easement. But the second thing is, I think it unnecessarily ties the board's hands. And Mr. President will recall that there can be no money spent out of this until they go through rulemaking. And in fact, we'll have another shot at this. And I think we should go ahead and give them all the tools, including the ability to purchase, take a look at the rulemaking process that they go through. And let's see where this board that's out there somewhere going to be appointed, let's see where they end up. If we need to come back in and tighten it up next session, we can do that. That's easy to do, and that's our obligation to do. But to tie their hands before they've even discussed land purchases, I think is premature. I ask you to vote no on this.
Senator Townsend.
Mr. President, I rise in support of this amendment, and I think the key to the amendment is, and what most of the discussion is about, is a fee title. The minerals are an integral part of the state of Wyoming, and I don't think it is a benefit to the bill to be able to purchase a mineral interest. Therefore, I think that is that may be the stumbling block here, and we need to pass this amendment merely on that basis.
Further discussion. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my second time, I just want to refer folks to some language just a page over in the bill on page 6 at the very bottom. where it does emphasize it must be a willing conveyor of the interest or someone who's willing to sell their land. Not everybody is in a financial position to be able to donate land, no matter how worthwhile the cause. And so if there's a nominal amount of money that needs to be done, that needs to be provided in order to mitigate critical habitat, we should certainly elect the board to do that. I think that we should preserve private property rights, and I think defeating this amendment would certainly do that.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Senator Jennings, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you. This amendment doesn't have anything to do with property rights of the individual. This individual can still sell his property. The only thing that this amendment does is it takes the state of Wyoming out of the process. If this individual wants to sell his land, he can sell it. There's nothing in here that says that we're going to restrict the ability of this property owner to sell his land. So if this property owner wants to sell and the state needs it, there's trades that can be made. If we decide that we want to go in and create this corridor where animals can migrate, that can be done by land swaps and trades. That can be done by donations. That can be done from non-state entities coming in and buying the land and then donating it. This does not take the rights of the property owner away, and we shouldn't vote this up or down on those terms. The other part is that we don't know how often this provision is going to be used. This is a provision that could be used, if we don't pass this amendment, this is a bill that could be used for a land grab. We don't know what the board's going to do. We don't know what their rulemaking is going to be. And I say that we do tie their hands now. If the rulemaking comes back and it looks like that we've lost some parcels, then we can come back and revisit this and say, yes, there are some areas here that we need to let them do it. Then we can address it. But right now, this is a very, very dangerous situation in our state, and we should protect it. We're not conservation easements. If there's a piece of property that a corridor or a fishing stream needs to be put in, then let's go to the bills that we worked on already here, and let's let that person, that property owner, put up a conservation easement to get in there and then move that easement over to the direction of the board and let them work on it and let them put it together. This is a dangerous situation, and we could be pushing land from private ownership to state ownership, and like the good senator over here said, putting it into a competitive situation to where we're pushing a surface owner, a rancher, next to this property, we're driving the price up. And he needs this piece of property that he could put an easement on, but he needs it for his operation and his ranching. So I would strongly suggest that we vote for this amendment.
The ayes and nays having been called for, Chief Clerk will call the roll. Question is, Senate File 41, Second Reading Amendment Number 3.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
No.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing?
Barrasso?
I should know. Closing. Vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
By your vote, Second Reading Amendment Number 3 has failed to pass the Senate. Second Reading Amendment Number 4, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 4 to substitute bill number 1, page 11, line 20.
The Jennings Amendment, Senator Jennings.
I move that this is a second reading amendment number 4 and further reading of the amendment to dispense. This is again along the same lines. If we do a grant from the board, we're not going to give it to somebody to buy real property. We kind of take the wind out of the sails on this one by defeating the other one. So,
further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just to note, as the sponsor just did, we just really voted on this issue. And if it's not going to be withdrawn, then I hope that we turn this amendment down as well.
Further discussion. All in favor of second reading amendment number 4, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed to pass the Senate. Second reading amendment number 5. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, second reading amendment number 5 to substitute bill number 1, page 5, line 12.
The Meyer Amendment, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 41. I ask that further reading amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, I think the body's made it fairly clear that we want the trust to be able to purchase land. This just goes in and says that there's going to be a little oversight. And the oversight is going to be the legislature and the SLIB board. Mr. President, this amendment is divisible. If someone doesn't want the SLIB board or doesn't want the legislature, thinks that either one is necessary, but the other one might not be. Mr. President, I just want to make sure that when the state does get in the land purchase business, which is where we're headed, that the legislature has some oversight, or the top 5 elected officials have some oversight, so we don't have a runaway wreck. I can understand that there may be some specific, very special circumstances, but when those very special circumstances exist, I'm sure that the legislature or the top 5 elected officials will recognize those special circumstances and help the Wildlife Trust in addressing the habitat or the migration or migration needs of game or whatever might actually be the special circumstance. However, Mr. President, I think we definitely need the oversight. I hope for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, I can appreciate some oversight, but I think it almost has to be exclusively by the State Loan and Investment Board, because there's really no mechanism for the legislature to approve a land purchase. I mean, we don't meet often, thank goodness. And in addition to not meeting very often, we don't have a process. Are you going to send it through as a bill? Are you going to send it through the budget? How exactly would we do this and really give it the fair hearing in the context of why they purchased the piece of land? So I'm a little concerned that we don't have quite the right process for approval of land acquisition, whereas the State Board of Land Commissioners really does have that ability, and maybe that's where it needs to be more so than even in the State Loan and Investment Board. So maybe there needs to be some oversight, but I'm not sure that this amendment's quite the oversight that we want, just because of the mechanism of actually getting the background work done. If you do it by the State Board of Land Commissioners, they have a staff that'll look at it and say, yeah, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It's a good investment. It's a good piece of land. So I'm just a little concerned about how you would do this mechanically, not so much the actual oversight itself.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And further, over on page 3, we have some language there which says that any property which this board picks up is going to be held in the name of the state of Wyoming and shall be administered by the Board of Land Commissioners. So I guess if we wanted an entity to review the work of the board when it comes to purchasing property, the appropriate one would probably be the Board of Land Commissioners, since they would have to administer it as opposed to these two entities.
Further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion seeing none. Senator Meyer, you wish another turn?
Mr. President, well, I'm glad that we're in agreement that there should be some oversight. Mr. President, I trust the legislature. I think we can have the appropriate oversight if the absolutely the specific mechanics is not involved. I would think the mechanics are there. The simple thing is a budget amendment to the budget, a footnote. That happens every time we meet. That would be an area of oversight. Would definitely allow the legislature to approve it, or a small little bill, a one-pager going through. That's the mechanics of the process. It allows for a full discussion, a full dissertation about whether or not this land purchase is necessary. So, Mr. President, I think the oversight and the mechanics are there. I think that we know that it is needed, and I think that people of Wyoming deserve and expect it.
Question is, second reading amendment number 5, should it pass the Senate? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed to pass the Senate. Back on the bill. Senate file 41 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
That just didn't happen.
You're in the mind.
Senate file 45, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 45, state tribal liaisons, sponsored by the Tribal Relations Committee.
Senate file 45, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 58, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 58, Prison Industries Program, Inmate Compensation, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee.
Senate file 58, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Discussion on the bill. Senator Jennings.
Obviously, you see there's not an amendment on this bill today. There's reason for that, because what we were working on doesn't quite jive with what's going on with the federal government. We are certified over at the mushroom farm right now. We do have some bugs to work out, but if you go onto some of the websites that describe this, under mandatory criteria, one of the things that they cover is deductions. So it says correction departments may opt to take deductions from inmate worker wages. Permissible deductions are limited to taxes, room and board, family support, and victim's compensation. If victim compensation deductions are taken, the assurance is that the deductions will not be less than 5% and not more than 20% of gross wages, and that all deductions will not total more than 80% of gross wages. That leaves 20% that can be going back to these families. Yet what we were told, we had to limit that, or ceiling that at 15%. I think there's some real problems, I think there's some real problems going on here. We did not really get a response back from corrections on how we could change this. We just got a response back that says, this is what we want to do and this is what it is. I think it's time to kill this bill and come back and readdress it. We are certified over to Mushroom Farm. When I talked to the people in Washington, they did indicate that there were some bugs to work out. They didn't indicate that they were under any crisis of losing any certification if we didn't work these bugs out today.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, in reading your email this morning, if you had time, we did get a clarification on the amount of money that is going toward child support and for families in this, and is up to 40% now, trying to work towards the 50% that we'd like to see happen to go to families. I think there are some things that have gone on, as we've discussed, that I think need to be taken care of, and hopefully we can do that in the next few days. But I would urge us to keep this bill. I think we finally have taken a step toward a prison industries program, and we really need, as we heard in committee, to be able to sell that product and provide provide, I guess I see it as one step towards hope or something for our people who are working there. And I would commit to you that we will work out the family issue. And so I would urge us to keep this bill alive. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, the first question I have, I didn't hear a request for a roll call on the issue as to whether it should be read a third time or not. And I suppose if you want to kill it today, that's the step you have to take. I would urge us not to defeat this bill on second reading. It does provide us a vehicle, I think. And I'm sorry that it doesn't seem to have been able to work out an amendment so far. I think we'll have to bring one, worked out or not, on third reading to try to cure the problem that's here, because this bill should not pass without the problem being cured.
Is that you making all that noise in the back? Excuse me, continue, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I still think we should be able to work something out on this. I think that the issue at hand needs to be worked out, because right now, the way it's set up, it is a destroyer of families and a destroyer of the hope that some of these individuals have for being able to return effectively to society. And it should not pass in its current form. But I don't think second reading is the time to give up on it.
Senator Hawks.
Mr. President, point of order. Has an objection to the question been made?
Senator Hawks, not at this time. However, debate on the bill is allowed. There has been no objection raised and no request for a roll call. Senate File 58, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 65, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File number 65, Alzheimer's Study, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 65, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 90, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 90, sponsored by court-ordered placements of juveniles, federal funds, sponsored by Senator Haynes.
Senate File 90, having been read two separate times, question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 100, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File number 100, Welfare Benefits Eligibility, sponsored by Senator Job.
Senate File 100, having been read two separate times, question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 113, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File number 113, Medical Safety Event Reporting, sponsored by Senator Massey.
Senate File 113, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. On the consent list are Senate File 36, State Parks Maintenance Funding, Senate File 39, Child Protection Amendments, Senate File 97, Unemployment Insurance Delinquencies, Senate File 104, Health Insurance, Small Employer Carrier Reinsurance, and Senate File 135, Sex Offender Registry Process.
on the consent list would is Senate File 36, State Parks Maintenance Funding, Senate File 39, Child Protection Amendments, Senate File 97, Unemployment Insurance Delinquencies, Senate File 104, Health Insurance, Small Employer Carrier Reinsurance, and Senate File 135, Sex Offender Registry Process. Would any senator like any of those bills removed from the consent list? Hearing none, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 36, are there any changes?
Meyer,
aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Townsend, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Hawks, aye to no. Case, aye to no.
Larson, aye to no.
President Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 36, 22 ayes, 8 noes. Senate File 39, are there any changes?
Anderson,
aye to no.
Ross,
aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Meyer,
aye to no. Townsend, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Scott, aye to no.
Hawks,
aye to no. Northrup, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 39, 19 ayes, 11 noes. Senate File 97, are there any changes?
Larson, no.
President Larson, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 97, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 104, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 104, 30 ayes. And Senate File 135, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 135, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 36, State Parks Maintenance Funding, Senate File 39, Child Protection Amendments, Senate File 97, Unemployment Insurance Delinquencies, Senate File 14, Health Insurance, Small Employer carrier reinsurance and Senate File 135, sex offender registry process, have passed the Senate. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, point of order. I believe you said Senate File 114 when you meant 104.
That is correct. Senate File 104, health insurance, small employer carrier reinsurance, has passed the Senate. Senate File 18, third reading of the Senate file. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File Number 18, Grain Law, sponsored by the Agriculture Department, an act relating to agriculture, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment. We have a couple of amendments. Third reading, Amendment Number 1. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 18, third reading, Amendment Number 1 to substitute Bill Number 1, page 1 after line 16.
Evasi Amendment. Senator Evasi.
Mr. President, I move third reading, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 18. Apologize to the body. This is a technical correction. As I read the amendment, I didn't get it all tracked into the right sections, and I hope this would do it, but it's no more than a technical amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? All in favor of third reading amendment number one, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one is passed. Third reading amendment number two. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 18, third reading amendment number 2 to substitute Bill Number 1, page 6, line 8.
The Meyer Amendment. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 18 and ask that further reading amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, after committee of the whole, the good senator from Albany County asked me to take a look at this particular issue and other areas of bonding. The bonding has to be acceptable. And in the current language that we had, that word was not in there. So I asked LSO to look at the other language and to come up with some language that would work. Mr. President, that's primarily what this amendment does, is to make sure that the bonding does hit that threshold.
Any discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none. Question is, third reading amendment number 2, shall it pass the Senate? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 is passed. Back on the bill. Having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Coe, aye.
Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Haynes,
aye.
Hawks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Larson,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 18, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 18 has passed the Senate. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carried. The Senate is resolved in the Committee of the Whole. Senator Nicholas.
Committee of the Whole please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 122. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File Number 122, Higher Education Endowments Accounts, sponsored by Senator Scott, an act relating to higher education endowments. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, that reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Boggs, Cole, Jennings, Peck, and Townsend, Senator Cole, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. It reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, Job, and Nicholas, Senator Hines, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Your President, Senator Coe.
Report to do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 122 and further move to first standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, the first standing committee amendment takes out everything this bill has to do with the Energy Institute. That's the primary thing the standing committee amendment does. We do go in and do two other things. In the middle, you'll see page 3 after line 19, we insert language that allows the scholarship endowment and earnings from these accounts to be looked at as it might relate to the Taylor Plan or other universal scholarship programs. That language is inserted. The other thing that the amendment does, page 4, line 11, it goes in and says that the principal will stay intact, that we will never, that this will be inviolate, basically, and that the principal shall not be withdrawn from the endowment fund. That's the amendment, standing committee amendment. There is a second standing committee amendment, but I think it's appropriate probably to deal with the first one first here, and I would move that amendment.
You go ahead and read in the amendment, Senator Coe.
Senate File 122, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 8.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, rising in support of the amendment, I'd particularly call the Senate's attention to the paragraph in the middle of the page in the amendment, starting line 20, on the scholarships. What we're doing here is setting up a mechanism, and the language in this amendment is carefully crafted so that whatever money we might ultimately decide to put in and to endow scholarships with this bill, will accommodate whatever we finally decide to do in the area of providing scholarships, so that we could, over the years, use the mechanism set up here, build up an endowed fund so that our scholarships were less of a hit on our general fund if we ultimately adopt one of the various programs that's out there on scholarships. So I call your attention to that because I think that's an important concept and an important reason to pass this bill, to get that mechanism set up so that if these good times continue, we can gradually build up an endowment fund on the scholarship area that will support whichever plan we eventually decide to do. And this language puts that reservation in any agreement we make with the university's foundation.
Further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment 1? There being none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Number 1 is passed. There is a second amendment. Standing Committee Number 2, if you read it in.
Senate File 122, Standing Committee Amendment Number 2, page 1, line 13.
Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Standing Committee Amendment, Senate File 122, second amendment. Mr. Chairman, I think it would probably be appropriate that we had the discussion on the bill prior to this amendment.
Okay, we'll go ahead and discussion on the bill. Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this bill is the Higher Education Endowment Bill. And what it seeks to do is to set up at our University of Wyoming and Community College what we call the Excellence in Higher Education Endowments, and it seeks to fund them. Let me just explain a little about the mechanics. You'll see it on page 3 of the bill. We take the money for the endowments. We divide them two-thirds to the university, one-third to the community colleges, and then split them evenly amongst the community colleges. The instructions on what to do with it, mechanically what happens, it goes into an account, and then it goes to the university, and they strike a deal with their foundation, deposit the money there, manage it there, and there's some language actually in the Standing Committee Amendment to make sure that it can't come back out of there, that that's a permanent endowment. And since when you go through the various state agencies, then you wind up eventually making a deal with the foundation, which is a 501c3, you really can't get at it again. So this is, we're talking about permanent endowments. And when you look at the language, and some of the key language of the university is found on page 5, for the recruitment and retention of faculty possessing abilities necessary to expand, and then you see the various areas here, two-thirds of it really aimed at the technical, and then a third over on the next page, I believe, aimed at the more general purposes of the university. And that similar language is for the community colleges, again, focused on their primary mission, more in the vocational area. The item I want to stress is recruitment and retention of faculty. The university and community college, you know, there's a lot of physical facilities there, things necessary to support what they do. But the key to the quality of the instruction is the people. And this is a message President Dubois has brought to us again and again and again. And he's right. I heard him last on the public television actually talking about this bill. Excellence in the faculty is a key to our university and our community colleges, because the teaching process, the learning that goes on with the students, it's a people process. And good people are the key to it. And what this bill is seeking to do is to build up, take our temporary surplus, and we don't know how temporary our surplus is going to be. Maybe this year, may run for 10 years. Who knows? If any of us really knew that, we'd have made our billions on the commodity exchange, gone to warmer climates than Cheyenne for the winter. We don't know. But we are taking the surplus we have and translating it into a permanent improvement in our higher education institutions with this bill. And I would submit to you that the quality of our higher education institutions is dependent on the kind of faculty that we can recruit and retain. Because that's the difference, really, between a top-class university and one that isn't quite so good. And we have good cause to be proud of our University of Wyoming. But, Mr. Chairman, when people do objective rankings of it, yes, it winds up in the top 100 schools in the country, and it should. But it winds up typically in the bottom quartile of those top 100s. And our competitors across the border in Fort Collins wind up in the next quartile up. And that makes a big difference. Go down to Fort Collins and look what's going on down there. All the firms that they've attracted in. It makes a difference to your economy. It makes a difference to the quality of education that your children and your grandchildren get. And what this bill seeks to do is to say, let's take some of our temporary surplus that we've got, put it into a permanent endowment, use it to attract the best people we can attract. And they're available right now because our competitors, particularly the ones in Colorado, but all over the country, are in budget trouble. Let's go attract them, and let's make a permanent improvement in our university and in our community colleges, because that's what will, Mr. Chairman, make a big difference in the future of our state. This is the bill, in my judgment, that transforms our treatment of this marvelous surplus we've had from a pedestrian route. We caught up on some of the things we needed to catch up on, and we have done that and are doing that. And we've made some provision for savings for the future because we know it won't last forever, and we've done a responsible job of that. This is the bill that does some savings in a way that will make a long-term difference for this state. I can remember, Mr. Chairman, hearing, and I forget which one it was one of the legislators from northeast part of the state, who I think had seen it firsthand, saying that, you know, when a rancher strikes it rich with an oil find on deeded minerals, you look 20 years down the line, and either he can have made provisions for his family and his operation such that the family will prosper long term, or you can wind up with a broke down Cadillac. And where did it all go? This is saying this is the opportunity so that we just don't wind up with a broke down Cadillac. We wind up with a permanent improvement in some of the key institutions we have in our state that are the key to the technological future that we can all see coming. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. It has the three components: the Excellence in Education Scholarship Endowment, the Scholarship Endowment, and then the energy one that the Education Committee, I think quite rightly, decided wasn't quite ready for prime time yet and took out of the bill. We got a study, as I remember, in the budget. That's an appropriate place for a study. But that's out of the bill now, and it probably should be. It wasn't ready. I would urge us to adopt the bill.
Any further discussion on the or explanation of the bill before returning to the Standing Committee Amendment number 2? Senator Schiffer.
Chairman, a question for the sponsors of the bill. What I'd like to know is, how do you know whether the university or community colleges, either one, whether they're doing the job we're asking them to do, and if so, how successful are they? And I question somewhat your statement that this is the prime time to go get professors. In fact, the university has lost 2 world-class professors, excuse me, in the last 3 years, one to our neighbor down the road and one to a university in Texas. But what I want to know is, how do you measure whether they're doing anything good, whether they're doing what they've been doing for the last 100 years, and how do you measure whether they're improving the education? I don't see much, I don't see any accountability in this, either to the state nor to improving quality. Was there any discussion along these lines? How do you know we're on the right track?
Senator Scott.
Well, that, Mr. Chairman, is a very difficult thing because, you know, this isn't like you're going out and buying a better bull and you want to see the calf weights come up. You don't have that kind of quantitative measure of what a university does. And it will be intertwined with all the other things that go on at the university. I think you measure it, and you've got to measure it over quite a period of time. Because, for instance, if we set aside an endowment today, it'll be a year better before they make the first recruitment using that. Just the timing factors, and the better people don't move overnight. It takes time. Ultimately, I think you look to the experiences that the students from your community have at the university. You hear better stories. To the better kids from the school, your high school, go to Laramie or Fort Collins. My daughter went to Colorado State University. Better school. I think that was an honest assessment of the two competing schools, particularly in the area she was interested. See how those choices are made. You look for some of the objective rankings. Goodness knows, Mr. Chairman, some of them are imperfect. The common one used recently has been the U.S. News and World Report. I won't say that it's perfect. I'm sure that it isn't. But it does tell you what does the rest of the world think objectively of your university. You start looking, does the university start improving its standing in those things? So it's measuring the quality of your university is a very difficult function, but one that we have to do because we provide, and we'll continue with this, to provide the bulk of their budget. It's also one of the more important things that we have to do because that is a key to our future.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, and that's kind of what I'm getting at is, in fact, there are ways to measure whether the university is making progress. And I'm only familiar with one, a state university system, and part of the way they use their endowment and measure it is how many outside dollars is that program bringing in? In other words, it's a concrete measure. It comes down to dollars and cents, how many graduate students, postdoctorate, right on up through the ranks. And if a program is insufficient, it doesn't last very long at that university system. And it's a very large system spread out here and there and everywhere. But what I'm not seeing here is the research into this, saying how, in fact, do you measure what kind of job these folks are doing? And there's no reference at all, no accountability again, to how good a job they're doing. You're telling me I go talk to my neighbors. I don't think that's exactly, for $100 million, the quality of measurement that we should have in place when we go forward with this program. I think it's doable. I think the systems are out there to measure it. I'm quite sure that there may be some reluctance to go that route, but I think without accountability, you're throwing $100 million and just hoping. And I'm not sure that's a great investment.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Specifically with regard to accountability, I would turn the folks' attention to page 13 of the bill, where it does have rather extensive reporting requirements. And starting October 1st of 2006, and every October, by October 1st of every year after that, even-numbered year thereafter, The university and the community colleges shall send a report to the Appropriations Committee and to the Governor outlining the use and the expenditure of the earnings of this investment. And then on page 13 and over on page 14, it specifically requires them to talk about the faculty and staff positions partially or fully funded through the endowment program, the name of each faculty and staff member, the individual's education, experience, summary of his research and instructional activities to make sure that, indeed, the type of people that we envisioned are hired or being retained. And then over on top of page 14, a description of the benefits of the research or instruction provided by that individual filling the position, especially with regard to students, business, industries, and to other Wyoming residents as required in this article. So they will be required to report periodically so that a standing committee and the legislature will be able to determine what the impact of those investments are, who's being hired, and what specifically are they doing with regard to instruction and teaching and connection of the university and community colleges to a larger community in dealing with the specific social and economic issues that we talked about earlier in the bill. And finally, with regard to present accountability, Mr. Chairman, I know that the university and perhaps some folks can talk about the community colleges, but the university does take surveys of their students and faculty a great deal in order to measure not only satisfaction of the instruction that's being given, but also the substance that's being provided. The university engages in an academic planning process in order to determine and take a critical look at what they're doing now and what needs to be changed, what they've been successful at, and what they need to excel in. And in fact, these endowments, part of these endowments are plugged directly into that academic plan and identification of the areas of excellence. And finally, with regard to how other people feel about the university, Mr. Chairman, we've, over the last few years, provided them with a challenge matching of $48 million, I believe, which has been met. Those challenge grants have been met and exceeded to where I think they're up pretty close to the $125 million level in the amount of funding that they've been able to raise outside of the university just in the last few years.
Further discussion? Senator Andrew, excuse me, Senator Basie.
Senator who?
Basie.
Oh, thank you.
That's you.
Mr. Chairman, I know that probably a top humanities professor wouldn't want to be compared to a bull, but honestly, they do. I mean, the people I envisioned when I signed on to this bill, the people I envisioned they'd hire would be professors that have proven quality, and they do have a lineage. They have academic work that they refer. They've had writings. They do bring some amount of research and ability to gain money for research. So I think that what I envision of this, you'd be able to go into some places as a representative, or excuse me, as a senator from Natrona County mentioned that right now it's a buyer's market, and we could go in and pick off some top professor in a field with some great lineage. So I would say that it's there in this bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Speaking really neither for nor against the bill here, but in an attempt to, I think, to stimulate the discussion, if not the debate, somewhat, I'd like to pursue with you in regard to, there were some issues here raised in regard to accountability and assessment of the program, but it seems to me that as we address the needs of the young people in the state of Wyoming, that this bill has actually addressed kind of three areas in regard to the post-secondary education, as we see here in regard to the assistance we give the university, secondary assistance through scholarships, tailored plans, and things like that. And then you've talked about, you know, the research component, which was taken out by the Education Committee. Well, I see similarly that the way we address the needs of the young people in the state is being somewhat of a three-legged stool, but the third leg that I would address with some of the discussion we have in regard to primary and pre-kindergarten and early childhood and that. I guess the question that I have is if we're going to take these bold steps with these considerable amounts of money to go out and really do some things for the youth in our communities of Wyoming, what in your mind places this as a priority or as a better place to place our funds perhaps, and then looking some of the areas in regard to early childhood, pre-kindergarten, and some of those areas. There's a lot of compelling research out there that indicates, and this is coming from some people in the Federal Reserve as well as the some Nobel economists, that's saying that for every dollar that we invest in early childhood education, we get an eightfold return. And over time, some of these programs, and there's research here provided by the Pew Foundation and others indicating that these are monies well spent. So if we want to prepare our young students or our young people to go journey out into life successfully and avoid some of the things that we know in regard to incarceration costs and those that fall on remedial education roles and things like that, the question that I would like to have you address is, we're discussing if perhaps doing all the legs on the stool, is this of such priority that this sets it up in advance of all those things, or are we in Wyoming in a position that we need to discuss all aspects, because really what we're doing is we're taking this debate right up through 16, K through 16, or birth through 16. Can't these monies just as well be applied if we divide them more equally down to some of the lower levels, or should we then just go forward with this proposal?
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's a very good question. And as a matter of fact, we have to take a look at all education as a continuum. We've all been through the education battles over the last 10 years with the court system, with the executive branch, the legislative branch. And as a result of that, we have invested an enormous amount of money. I think it's the last call, and the chairman of the Education Committee can correct me, but my last recall is that it's somewhere now between $150 and $200 million more per year, year in and year out, that we are now putting in K through 12 that we didn't previously. And also, because of an amendment from the senator from Park County last year, we are in the midst now of a study of the developmental preschool system in determining the true cost. And that study is going to be coming back to us later this year so that we can examine on whether or not what's a fair cost to go into that system. And there are various preschool proposals that have been floating around this session and I imagine into the future that we're certainly not going to ignore. And as we'll find out later in this debate when we get to the first standing committee amendment, there's still going to be plenty of resources to deal with that early childhood area. And this certainly isn't clearing the board. So I think that, in reality, this is coming behind the investment we've already made in K through 12. And it's part of raising the entire system and the entire continuum. We've already done that with K through 12, and now we just need to do that with secondary education and preschool areas. It's going to be right there as well.
Further discussion? Senator Coe. Excuse me.
In answer to the question, it's about $254 million, I think, we've increased K-12 funding. And you know, this legislature at this point in time, you know, while we're meeting this time, is going to look at salaries, you know, which I like to call infrastructure to K-12. That's all part of infrastructure. We're doing that through the health insurance program. We're doing that through a number of other areas. And this legislature is committed to recalibration and looking at what I like to call infrastructure. What I particularly like about you know, Senate File 122 is that this does go out, and the buzzword has been with one-time monies in this legislative group, deal with infrastructure. And infrastructure has to do with professors and the quality of education that we're able to provide at the community college level or the university. I like to look at Senate File 122 as investing with one-time money, you know, in the infrastructure of what we end up with out there over the next 20, 25 years. And that's why we have the amendment that keeps the principle intact in the standing committee amendment. And, you know, we move forward like this and say that we are committed to having the finest professors possible. And I think this bill goes down that road to doing that at the community college level and UW and follows up with what we've done with K-12. So this is what I might say is the, you know, one of the final pieces in the K-16 proposal that we're talking about here, because obviously, we're committed to funding education and doing it well. We have a Supreme Court down the street that tells us we have to do it well. And so I would urge you to support this bill.
Senator Peck.
Mr. Chairman, most of the discussion to this point has dealt with the university. And I wanted to just put a word or two in about the assessment and accountability as regards the seven community colleges. The colleges, through their commission, have taken a poll, so to speak, following up on graduates and the satisfaction with the education offered at our seven colleges is ranked very high, which is reassuring. Second, they also ascertained that our completion of your community college education has a significant increase on your lifetime earnings, which is also another measure of accountability. They also have measured that the students starting at the community colleges fare as well or better as transfers to the University of Wyoming as compared to those who enroll as freshmen at the university. Fourth, I'd like to mention that the community colleges have been leaders in technological education, and a great many of our community college graduates who have become expert in Microsoft and Oracle and some of the other high-tech fields are able to go out and get well-paying jobs directly after completing only 2 years of their college. We're in a very fast-changing technological society here, and the community colleges have shown their ability to make rapid adjustments to the offerings, and I think that the inclusion of the colleges in one-third of this deal, even though it's going to be divided by seven, will allow them to continue to attract people of technological excellence to keep our community colleges abreast of the fast-changing world of technology.
Senator Boggs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I too would like to respond a little bit to the accountability issue raised by the good senator from KC. If you'll look at your bill on page 9, starting on line 19 and continuing through the remainder of that page and the first line on the next page, you will see that the community colleges would be, if this bill passes, would be obligated to spend not less than two-thirds of the amount made available through the investment on expanding vocational programs and working with business and industry. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to give the body just three examples of the kinds of accountability that I think the community colleges would be able to provide. First of all, between the months of May and September, I visited with over 20 different natural gas companies or companies that contract with natural gas companies. And there were four particular programs that were identified as being needed by the industry. The first two we were able to respond to without additional assistance. One was a safety training program. We worked with the major producers to develop a safety training program that will allow a contractor to take the single program and walk onto the sites of any particular company, And that was considerable progress because when those companies first arrived, each had their own training manual, and contractors had to be trained for each of the specific manuals before they could go into the site of the producer. So we were able to respond to that. A second training program for which we were able to respond was commercial driver's licenses. Again, we were able to enter into a partnership with a company that provides training for CDLs. The requirement is that those individuals who would enter into the program would first have to be hired by a company, pass the drug test, and then they could enter the training. We've had now over 30 people pass the CDL exam and are working in the gas fields. So those were two things that we could respond on. But two other things that this particular program would assist us with are first, process technology. Process technology is that those efforts that are focused on the wellhead training and getting actually producing the natural gas. We have a company that has committed to giving us $100,000 worth of new equipment. And they have also agreed to do the necessary work to put that equipment into place. They have also agreed to provide an instructor free of charge for 1 year. On the other hand, the need for this program will extend beyond a year. Having an opportunity to have access to the income from investments like this would allow us to compete with industry and hire a faculty member to provide that training that is essential to those businesses and their success in producing natural gas. The other program is a compressor technology program. In that particular program, we're applying for a grant. If that grant is awarded, we will be able to purchase the equipment, build the additional shop bay that's necessary to offer the training. It would be a challenge for us to find in our programs or by terminating a program and redirecting money sufficient to hire a faculty member. Having access to this type of program would allow us to compete with industry, to hire one person who could instruct in compression technology and provide the training that's necessary to allow us to ship gas out of the state so that we can receive the income that's necessary for us to maintain this surplus. I would also remind you that in the budget, there was one additional, there was an amendment that added money for LCCC. LCCC received a federal grant, and in order to fulfill the requirements of that grant, they needed matching dollars. The state has not chosen yet. The legislature has chosen to amend, both on the House and Senate side, the budget bill, which would allow the matching funding so that LCCC can provide training to businesses and industries that are necessary in terms of production. So these are some examples of the kinds of responsibility and the kinds of accountability that the community colleges could assume if this program is approved.
Further discussion on the bill? Return to the Standing Committee Amendment Number 2, Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I'll again move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to the Senate File 122, and basically what our amendment does is delete Section 2 on page 19 and 20, which is the appropriation. Let me first address the subsection B on page 20, and this was a $10 million appropriations to the Student Scholarship Endowment. And there's a lot of questions to ask and discussion on this, and we didn't feel like there was enough answers at this time to be clear enough. So we deleted that, and we will be making the recommendation to the Management Council that they do study or assign this to some committee that will get a little more detailed and better information for us on that part of the program. On the second part on page 19, subsection A, which is the $105 million appropriation from the budget reserve account, there's several things, and as you've heard during the discussion already, there's some concern about how do we determine the profit, the progress, and the benefit that we will have. And I think before we were ready to appropriate $105 million, we thought maybe perhaps there should be a little better information, a little slower route in going. We also have heard and know that the university had a private fundraising plan and campaign the last few years, which have raised their goal, I believe, $125 million. I think we need to check and see just how much of that money is set aside for endowments that could maybe do the same purpose of this. And then again, it was discussed here just this morning that we were talking about a savings program. And as you know, I'm a big fan of savings programs, but I'm also the one that have to try to help balance the general fund. And this, I don't believe, have any direct return to the general fund. It's good in other areas, but of course we get our money mainly from three sources, and that's property taxes, sales taxes, and return from savings on our accounts where we get a direct return. So while this saves in one area, when our funds go down, it does not bring us in more money. And again, as I've been harping on here for a month, I guess you'd say, that we need to set our priorities. They just handed us the yellow sheet, and I haven't had time, our profile, I haven't had time to study it yet, but I do notice that we have about $140 million difference between what we passed in our budget and what we're moving along than what the House has. And of course, that's not counting the $75 million we have to take off of that for our statutory reserve. That puts the House $25 million or so in the hole and cuts our line down, of course, by the $175. So again, I was going to say, as we move along, we still have two more readings. We need to, after today on our committee of the whole, we'll be through. We know then what will be profiled. We'll have a better idea of what bills are moving around and where you want to put your priorities. Like they say, we keep talking about our surpluses and what to do, and as you recall, we had $1.2 billion of ideas of what to do with our surpluses of 900 and some million. So So we have a gap right there to begin with, and we need to look at our priorities, and we'll have the opportunity here in the next, tomorrow and the next day on second and third reading on these high spending bills, just where our real priority are and where do you want to spend the money. So for that, I'll ask that you accept our Appropriation Committee amendment today.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, I'm going to rise and suggest we adopt the Appropriations Committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, really, as a matter of mechanics, the scholarship money, that's something that we can put in there, I don't know, maybe in a week, once things have better settled out from the budget, we'll find that there is some money left over that would be appropriate to go for that. At this point, there's enough uncertainty there. With regard to the $105 million, we've going to come with another amendment, Mr. Chairman, and we could have divided this up and then come in and further amended. It seemed easier mechanically to let's accept the Appropriations Committee amendment, and then we'll debate the $105 million with a different source.
Senator Boggs.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to apologize to the good chairman of the Appropriations Committee because I did not make myself clear. The safety training that I talked about, I indicated that the college was able to accept the responsibility for that program and run that program primarily because industry paid for that. On the compression technology and the process technology, I had hoped to point out the fact that by having those programs, we are in fact contributing to the surplus. Without the process technology, it is difficult for the industry to produce the natural gas that's helping us have this surplus. And without the compression technology training, it is difficult for the companies to move this gas out of the state of Wyoming and into the markets so that we can receive those monies. So I believe in the two examples that I used that they are directly related to the production of our surplus in the state of Wyoming.
Further discussion on the amendment, the motion on the floor is Senator Hines' motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 2. It affects an appropriation, requires a roll call. That does not. I apologize. All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. The next motion on the floor is Committee of the Whole Number 1, Senator Scott.
Senate File 122, Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 13.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of this amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, in a minute I'm going to yield to Senator Massey to explain the funding source on it. What this does is it brings the $105 million appropriation in. It does it in three deposits of $35 million, one which would come on October 1st, and the next two, April 1st and June 30th, will come in this fiscal year, but after we meet again. And I would point that out, because that's something we haven't talked about. Those two we could back up on if something goes drastically wrong with our revenue sources between now and then. So it's $105 million, but $70 million of it, really, we could, if we had to, back up on next year. Now, I don't think that we're going to have that kind of collapse in our own gas revenues. I don't think we'll have to. But that is a further safety valve. Mr. Chairman, this is a good part of the guts of the bill, and I yield to Senator Massey to explain the financing here.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I passed around a handout, if folks can kind of dig through the stuff that's been accumulating over the morning and dig that out. I think it's very instructive, and it's also very important to this amendment to go over that briefly. First of all, I apologize for the date on top. It's obviously on Friday and not today. This was profiled on Friday, so I wanted to get it out in time, and that's why you see the date there. And I didn't want to run off another 30 copies. Mr. Chairman, the information that folks have in front of them there clearly indicates that even with this $105 million profile coming from the school foundation account for this year, taking a look at the very right-hand column, the second to the last figure down at the very bottom, total balance available is still going to be $250 million is projected to still be available at the school foundation account in FY 07 and 08. And that profile takes into account every single education bill that's still out there and alive and that could be funded this session. The only thing it doesn't take into account is recalibration, which is going to occur over the next year, but it's highly unlikely that's going to result in an extra $250 million a year that's going to be drawn down. And in fact, every source that I've talked with who's familiar with that recalibration process says that's more than sufficient to be able to deal with that. So, Mr. Chairman, it seems appropriate to take it out of the school foundation account, you know, given the amount of surplus that's in there. The fact that this is going to go for education and it's certainly going to be benefiting those K through 12 students as they go on to higher education. And it also recognizes something that the Senator from Park County noted before in the debate on the earlier bill, and that is we have put nearly over a half a billion dollars worth of money from other accounts into the school foundation account previously. So this one-time appropriation isn't going to hurt education. It's not going to compromise our ability to make decisions on K through 12 issues. It's going for an appropriate place. And also, we're going to be using this to earn the interest from it. We're going to be using this money and putting it to work. And everything that we've talked about so far with all these endowed faculty positions and staff positions at our university and community colleges, the interest is going to be working for us from here into perpetuity. And what's it going to provide? The best estimate is that the $105 million with the interest that's going to be earned, and once it's fully earned and implemented, which will take some time, it will result somewhere in between 15 and 20 additional endowed positions at the University of Wyoming. And that could be even further enhanced if some of this money were to be used to augment existing positions. We heard earlier, Mr. Chairman, about some key faculty positions, key faculty members leaving in previous years, and that has occurred. You know, we've lost some very key individuals who have left because we could not match the financial package that they were going to be receiving elsewhere. We can do that now. Those folks who took a tour this weekend over at the University of Wyoming got a chance to go out to the State Veterinarian Laboratory out in the west part of Laramie and saw a wonderful program that was anchored by an incredible faculty member who we just recently lost in a wreck down 287. And they described in detail what she meant not only to that state veterinary lab, but what she meant to chronic wasting disease and research on black-footed ferrets, the grants and the additional quality faculty members that she brought to that program, as well as the additional students. And then that program, through their research, created jobs that these students could have here in Wyoming. Okay? This is a way of stemming the flow of graduates out of Wyoming and keeping them here. And the same could be said of community colleges. It's estimated that each community college will get $5 million as a result of this amendment. And when that's invested, each community college roughly will get 3 to 4 key faculty and staff positions each year. Or that would even be increased more if they took existing ones and augmented it. For the entire system, that would be 21 to 28 more faculty and staff positions in our community colleges. The university right now, through their other types of fundraising, has 11 endowed chairs throughout the university, and I can give you the specifics on where they are if anyone's interested in that. The testimony, Mr. Chairman, in the Appropriations Committee from the president of the university was that the recent fundraising has been very successful, but their sources are tapped out at this point. They can't go back to these folks and say, can you give us some additional money for endowed chairs? The only way it's going to happen is if we put the resources into it. And this is what this amendment will do. It will not hurt our choices. It will not undermine our ability to fund K through 12 education.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I rise in support of the amendment. We had a big debate, obviously, you know, about the school foundation program last week. That's not what I'm going to try to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you that there is adequate funding in there. clearly adequate funding to do everything we need to do out of the school foundation program. This is a staggered approach to have another look at it. I think we have to remember as we look at the school foundation program, this is a program that has significant general fund monies in it. If you remember what I passed out last week, over $650 million have flowed into the school foundation program from the general fund and other funds since about 1992 or three, even from the highway account, even from the water account. So this is a fund. The school foundation program is a fund that does have general fund flavor to it. I think this is appropriate, and I would urge that you support the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question having been called, the motion, all those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt committee the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That motion has been adopted. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just kind of curious, I guess, about the mindset of the sponsors of this bill. Given that the success, and actually as an original skeptic some years back when we started the Challenge Grant Program, I believe it was $30 million originally, and the university responded wonderfully to that and did some great fundraising and matched it to the point where we put up another Challenge Grant and even brought in the community colleges into this, and the response has been great. And I'm kind of curious as to why we would suddenly reverse course and just say, okay, fine, here's an endowment. We're just going to put that in there now rather than at least making a portion of it as a challenge grant. The testimony we've heard on the floor so far is that the $105 million would provide between 20 and 25 endowed chairs just at the university, which would more than double the current number of endowed chairs. So I guess it would end up tripling the number of endowed chairs at the university. And then it would add, if I recall, another 4 to 5 endowed chairs at each of the universities. I'm sorry, community colleges. That's wonderful, but I'm wondering why not make it, why haven't the sponsors considered making a portion of this a challenge grant to expand that endowment fund?
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, two things. One, first, let's not overpromise. We're going after some of the best people. It's going to take more, I think, than the typical university figure in terms of endowment for an endowed professorship to get the job done. My guess is you're looking more like 15 than 25 of these. Still, going to make a tremendous difference in the quality of the institution. I thought about doing just say, okay, let's expand the existing ongoing challenge program, which has been enormously successful. Mr. Chairman, it's my belief that we got the figures on the challenge program right, and we've given them as much of a task as they can realistically accomplish there. And we ought to continue that challenge program. I suspect it'll come up in the biennial budget next year in due course the way it should. And we'll probably add something to it in the future. But right now, it was said earlier in the debate, Mr. Chairman, that they're tapped out on that. And I think that's right. They've done a marvelous job. This is just saying, okay, we're faced with an unusual circumstance, an opportunity to take our university to a whole new level of excellence. And it's above and beyond the challenge program. And I think we, the legislature, ought to rise to that challenge and take advantage of the opportunity that we have been given here in Wyoming to build something for our future.
Further discussion on the bill? There being none, the question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, that it do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate file 122 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate file 122 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our reading is House or Senate file 132. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Townsend.
May I have
the floor, please?
You may.
Thank you. Senate body, I want to introduce to you the 75 students, teachers,
and parents visiting in the balcony to the east from Duke Castle. These are eighth graders, and Mr. Munger is sponsoring them. I'd like to welcome to the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you and welcome. Reading clerk would read the bill.
Senate file number 132, first responders, criminal background check, sponsored by Senator Mockler, an act relating to the Wyoming Criminal History Record Act, was referred to
Committee number 7, I think.
Referred to Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Haynes, Johnson, Meyer, Mockler, and Scott. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, I'm moving with the committee in the whole rights report to do so with a do pass motion on Senate file 132. And I would refer to the good senator from Cheyenne, Senator Mockler, to explain this fine bill.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly hope we can have an hour-long debate on this bill. Actually, this is a bill that was brought and was asked that I do by one of my local volunteer fire departments. I know in most communities, volunteer fire departments are people you know in your community and are right there with you every day of your life. But in places like Cheyenne, that's not necessarily always true. Sometimes the people that are volunteering in the more rural fire departments are people from the city that aren't your neighbors and aren't your friends. And in this case, they had a bit of a problem. It seems that someone that was always the first one at the fire was somewhat responsible for the fires. And had they actually been able to do a background check on that individual, they would have been able to determine that ahead of time. Remember, we do put quite a bit of training into these positions, and their concern was is that they were sending them to academies and learning all of these skills and then finding that they weren't really assets to the department. So what we did is we looked at some options in allowing the volunteer fire departments to have access to criminal background checks the same way that the public fire departments are. The paid fire departments already do background checks on the individuals before they hire them. As the discussion progressed, and this was last winter, not this winter, the bill just wasn't ready last year for bringing in the budget session, but a lot of work was done in the interim. And in that interim, a number of other individuals asked to be part of the bill. The volunteer ambulance services, which includes the EMTs and the actual paramedics, the regional response teams, which are part of Homeland Security, they were the last people that came in sometime in December of this year and said this is actually critical to them as well. Although they won't have to do it on all of their volunteers, there are some paid employees and some people that are coming into these regional response teams that they feel would be important to do the background check. So essentially after the discussion on the bill, we had the State Fire Marshal, the Homeland Security, the State Fire Chiefs, the State Firefighters Association, and the Department of Health on behalf of the EMT saying, please do this. And we hope that it'll be prospective. I doubt anybody's going to really afford to go back and check everybody that's already on their departments, but they'd like to have the ability to do it prospectively. As I said, it is discretionary. There are some departments, I understand, from a senator from up in the northern part of the state that said no one would volunteer if we had to do background checks. And I appreciate that. But what you're really trying to do is use your discretion as a department, and that's all we're allowing with the bill, is that if as a department, as an agency, an EMT department, or perhaps even Homeland Security, at least opens the option up the way we have for the nurses, for other professions around the state. There is a fiscal comment attached. They're not really quite sure how many people this will affect. They are a little concerned at DCI they might end up needing another person, but they haven't made that determination yet, and they're really, I think, willing to go forward for the rest of this biennium and then maybe look at their actual budget request in next year and see if it made a huge difference if they need more people. The Department of Health has offered to do the EMT background checks and pay for them because they really do want these done on the EMTs. And finally, when you think about the bill, one of the problems I have with this whole concept, which is probably why it took a year, is that I have a little bit of caution in me that says whenever anybody wants to do a background check on anyone. And that's why I don't live in California. I don't want anyone to have my fingerprints. But I guess I reached a point where I realized that sometimes when you're living out in a country, out in the country, and you have an ambulance come pick you up and take you into town, you're really quite vulnerable. And the one thing you want to be assured of is that that vulnerability isn't taken advantage of by the people that rescued you. And so this was probably the thing that swung me over to the acceptance of the bill, which is that we're asking it that it be done of people who are in very sensitive positions that have access to your home at your most vulnerable time, whether it's burning down or you're sick inside. So I would ask that you accept the bill and move it forward. I think it really probably is something that will work and gives us some real sense of security that the people we've asked to take care of us are capable of doing it. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator, there be none. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, a couple of questions, and if I missed it in the explanation, then if the Attorney General Office, which I understood you to say, said there may be more cost in the future, I guess my question number one was, surely they would have some estimate and some amount. And then the second part of my question would be, is this an area then that we pass laws and passing on the expense to a local government unit that we quite often get criticized on for unfunded mandate? Is there a problem here? Will this be an increased cost to local governments, or will it all be absorbed by the Attorney General's office?
Senator Mockler.
It is, because it's discretionary, if a department doesn't want to do background checks, for instance, you know, Fire District Number 3 in Cheyenne doesn't want to do them, they don't have to do them. But if they do decide to do them, they have to pay for the check. So they pay DCI for the background check. And so it's not a mandate because we're not requiring it of them. We're giving those departments that feel like they really probably need to do this because they've had enough problems in the past, the discretion to do it. And as I said, if the EMTs, the Department of Health, stepped forward and said they would actually like to pay DCI to do them instead of requiring that all of the local EMT services do it. So it'll be, you know, it is a cost that's given to DCI in terms of the fees that they collect for it. But it isn't necessarily mandates, so if an individual department really knows they can't afford these, they won't do it. And then in addition, you need to remember that some of these departments don't have a lot of turnover. And as because it's not retroactive, it's prospective, there isn't a real sense that there will be lots and lots of these. And so I guess, it's not a mandate, it's discretionary, and the cost will be determined by the individual agency.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Allman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm standing in support of this bill. I think what we need to look at is in past years when we've had groups start up, it's usually our neighbors and we're having a lot of problems. But now, the way Wyoming is growing right now, we're getting a lot of new people coming in from out of state that want to join our groups, and we don't have the means to really look into finding out who they are and where they came from. And this bill will help us in doing that. So I hope that we will support this bill.
Discussion on the bill. Question having been called for, all those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 132 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 132 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file is Senate File 71. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File Number 71, Wyoming Community Facilities Program, sponsored by Senator Ross, an act relating to the administration of government. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, Jobe, and Nicholas. No, Senators Case and Hines. Senator Hines, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Hines?
Mr. Chairman. I said they didn't get that Alzheimer's study passed tonight. Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I move that it does so with the recommendation that Senate File 71 do pass, and I'll yield to the sponsor, Senator Ross.
Senator Ross.
Mr. Chairman, there is also a standing committee amendment from committee number 2.
I think he's going to give you an opportunity to explain it first.
Right, I'll explain the bill first, and then we'll deal with the standing committee amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate File 71 is entitled the Wyoming Community Facilities Program. This is probably, well, it is for me anyway, my number one priority this session in trying to address the situations that we find ourselves in, particularly when it comes to facilities throughout the state that we may lose or not be able to keep up as a result of our school funding program and our capital facilities program, in which buildings become or may become surplus property. There's a number of needs around the state for somehow to keep these community facilities up and running. They are the focal point of their community, and yet they become surplus property under the model. This bill would allow for the establishment of a community facilities program that is modeled after the Wyoming Business Ready Communities program. And essentially what we've done is taken that format and created a new program to be administered by the Business Council, in which grants and loans can be let out or approved by the Business Council, submitted to the SLIP board. The SLIP board then makes the final determination as to which communities would get grants and loans in this matter. The purpose of the bill is stated on page 2. It is the purpose of this article to further promote economic development at the city, town, county level in order to create additional economic health, a stronger economy, and enhance attractiveness of Wyoming communities as a place to live. And then, as I said, in paragraph B, it goes into the SLIP board, and then a community basically under this bill would, if it's a qualifying community with a demonstrated need, can seek a grant or a loan from the Business Council. And that for such projects as a space for community gatherings, for appropriate recreational swimming, athletic facilities, for such things that would enhance the quality of life, for new construction or expansion, renovation, or remodeling of existing facilities, in addition to allow for the acquisition of land and development of infrastructure. Some of these possibilities may include such things as the infrastructure for new kinds of development, for instance, perhaps a convention center or something like that, where clearly this bill would not allow and would not provide sufficient funding for something like that, but could assist in land acquisition for that project or the help in developing the infrastructure for such a project. Really, this is one of the things that the governor mentioned in his bill, in his statement to us at the beginning of the session that he would really like to see us address. In our local community here in Cheyenne, I can give you a prime example of a building that becomes, in essence, surplus property, but would be a travesty to lose, and that is Story Gym. Story Gym is probably one of the best facilities in the state of Wyoming to host a basketball game. And in fact, this past weekend, the East Central game was held at Story Gym. That building becomes surplus property. It does have a number of needs if it was to be taken over by, let's say, the Joint Powers Board or the city or the county in a cooperative effort. There's a number of needs in terms for instance, electrical and plumbing and ADA compliance kinds of things. Certainly, there's just not enough money to be able to do some of that stuff without the assistance of a program like this. We've also heard, and there's been testimony from various communities around the state, Hewlett, Worland, Powell, Glen Rock, Granger, other places that would like to keep their buildings that are a focal point of their community, and we need to somehow find a way to assist them to do so. This bill will do that. The bill originally had a $30 million appropriation in it, and that has been reduced by the Standing Committee amendment, along with some other portions of the bill that were amended by the Appropriations Committee. I would be happy to discuss those, but I think that amendment needs to be moved first.
Any questions on the explanation of the bill? If not, we'll go to the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Number 1, Standing Committee Number 1, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 71. What we've done, starting on page 4, where it was giving the requirements of the areas that this money could be used on, after development we inserted or improvement, and then on the next line we added existing infrastructure requirement to serve as a facility or other portion of, and we wanted it to be used not just for new facilities or acquiring something that wasn't already in the community. Our thoughts that the original purpose of this was in many of the school buildings that where the population is decreasing, and through our foundation program we are no longer furnishing money, that they can keep this facility in use by the community, then this would give them that opportunity to go ahead and apply for this program and see if they could use that facility within the community. Then on page 5, after line 23, we inserted that the project will not compete with existing governmental organizations or businesses. And the next part of the amendment is renumbering, and the we deleted then on the bottom of page 6, we inserted a period thereafter board and deleted the part that had a maximum amount that a community could get for grants. We've done this with the thought that a lot of the little communities that have limited resources and are struggling for ways to keep these facilities, and they would not be restricted by having to come up with a match. And we'd leave that up to the board to decide. And then, of course, Mr. Chairman, we changed the appropriation. We changed it from $30 million down to $5 million with the same old arguments that we've been using, that this, along with many other programs, are worthwhile and good, and we need to get them in order and set our priorities. So I ask your support for this amendment.
Chair, I apologize. The Green Clerk would read in the amendment.
Senate File 71, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 4, line 6.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. There is another amendment. The Green Clerk would read in the amendment.
Senate File 71, Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 8.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1, to Senate File 71, and ask that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the very same topic that we just talked about with regards to Standing Committee Amendment in terms of how much to adequately fund this program at this time. I was somewhat hesitant to bring this amendment at this time, given previous bills that we just heard along the way in terms of knowing where we are, based on the Goldenrod. However, the Goldenrod has come out and does give us an idea where we are. And I believe that there are sufficient funds in the general fund to accommodate this amendment. The amendment would take the general fund appropriation from $5 million to $10 million. The purpose of that is that there does need to be adequate money into this program now. And I believe that at least $10 million is a good start. I believe that $5 million is inadequate. The second part of the amendment deals with just the amount of money that will be needed to get the program up and running through the Business Council. This figure just didn't magically fall out of the air. There is another bill that's making its way through this legislature that has a similar amount of money in it for the startup costs, which is in lines 13 through 18 of the amendment. It may or may not be the appropriate time to add this money into it, given our financial status in terms of where we are and all of these bills, but I think it's appropriate that we at least have this discussion now on general file so that later on nobody will be surprised when another amendment shows up to add this money back in if, in fact, this amendment fails at this time. So that is the nature of the amendment. I believe that given our fiscal profile, it would be appropriate to adequately fund this account now.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I will confess I'm still a little confused on the bill, and it sure affects how I would vote on the amendment. Is this bill strictly aimed at facilities that are useful to the community that were taken care of by the schools, and with our new setup there, schools are no longer able to afford to do it because we're not maintaining those? Or is this also designed to assist with some new facilities? For instance, my community feels a performing arts center, a group in our community feels a performing arts center would be a very good thing. And can they come to the SLIP board for grants to help get that process started? Now, those things cost so much, I think they'd also have to go to the voters for 1 cent sales tax money and some other things like that. But could they make use of it for something like this?
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the question because, in fact, this bill is broad enough to and envisions those kinds of situations. There are other community facilities that aren't necessarily tied at all to being a school building that communities wish to retain. And so if you look at the bill, it's broad enough for new construction. It's broad enough for expansion or renovation of those existing buildings, if it may be an existing building, or it could be new. And it's for there is a debate here, and I do want to bring this out, as to whether or not we're competing with the business-ready communities. Bill, are we duplicating some services? And if need be, we can certainly sort that out on second reading, if there's that sense here, because you'll note that the bill talks about to promote economic development or to enhance the attractiveness of communities or to enhance the livability, let's say, of a community. So the very point that you make is that, yes, in that situation, the Performing Arts Center could apply through a municipality or local or joint powers board or something to apply for a grant to help them in that situation. Similar to what I just indicated that potentially here in Cheyenne, a convention center is something that is being debated, and I happen to be on the convention center task force here in Cheyenne. Currently, you know, we have, in Laramie County, we've tapped out all of our sales tax situation. We're fully taxed. But it could assist us at least in the initial phases of trying to develop that, so that once we've utilized our sixth penny right now is being used, will be used for a library and so forth, once that goes off, that we could use the sixth penny for a convention center. But we could start that process now with acquisition of land or infrastructure studies and so forth along that line.
Discussions on the amendment. Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1, Senator Scott.
Chairman, again, on the amendment, because I'm trying to figure out what the money can be used for. Or take another example that from our community, which I hope a number of other communities will imitate. We've created a walking trail along the Platte River, known as the Platte River Parkway. That's gradually being expanded. There's talk of expanding it using an old railroad bed out to the end of Kimball-Wilkins State Park. It's a marvelous facility, something I would commend to all of you for your communities, because in terms of preventive health measures, what that does is make walking exercise very attractive, and a lot of people are using it. Is this the kind of amenity which makes the community a nice place to be that could be used for? Or we just put in where the old Amoco refinery had been, we're in the process of putting a golf course in. Would that kind of thing be eligible for this sort of funding?
Senator Ross.
The answer to that question, Mr. Chairman, is yes. And in fact, if you look at lines 10 and 11 of page 2, to create additional economic health, a stronger state economy, and enhance attractiveness of Wyoming communities as a place to live. So certainly those things could be used in that regard. I don't know that I can answer it any better than that. We've tried to keep the language broad enough to allow the Business Council, in conjunction with the SLIP Board, to make those kinds of decisions. One of the issues that we need, that we probably will need to decide as we move along, is do you want to have SLIP Board oversight of this, or should we just keep this within the Business Council and let them decide? As we heard testimony on this bill in Appropriations Committee, in talking with the director of the Business Council, one of the issues is that very point. Should we keep this solely within the Business Council, or should we have oversight by the SLIP Board? This bill takes the approach that we're going to have oversight by the SLIP Board. There is another bill, as I indicated, that doesn't do that. It just has it solely within the Business Council, and that'll be a policy decision for us to decide as we move along. We'd like to be able to at least bring that issue to you and have some discussion as to what this body's will is in that regard also.
Further discussion on the amendment, Mr. President.
Question to the sponsor. I wonder if a spray park would qualify for this kind of a program.
Senator Ross.
Well, Mr. Chairman, probably a spray park would have been better in this program than in a business-ready community program. But what happened was that in the last legislative session, a good senator added recreation into the business-ready community. And in fairness, the Business Council applies the law that they have it, and that's what happened there, folks. And so when the weather gets hot, and hopefully we won't have a special session this summer, otherwise I'll invite you down to go through the spray park.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And speaking in favor of the bill and certainly in favor of the amendment, the good senator from Natrona County has brought up some kind of exciting proposals that would work for his community, and certainly some of those, maybe to a lesser scale, would work in some of the more rural communities that I have. But I would just like to share with you some of the discussions that I've had with the small towns and communities that are in my district in regard to the possibilities for this and what it does. We're all aware of the fact that the School Facilities Commission has been given pretty strict direction by the Supreme Court that some of these facilities and additional space can no longer be supported through school funding.
Well, over time, small communities have become very dependent upon some of the school facilities for recreation and community service, and maybe at that time that was appropriate. They would, folks were paying the mill levies and whatnot to build those buildings, but that opportunity has gone away. And so I find in many of my communities, and I'll just list some of the things that have gone away as the School Facilities Commission has come in and made these facilities more specific to schools. And in some instances, these are very good and very serviceable buildings that are just excess space or excess capacity and have been taken off the state rolls. But over the weekend, I had a meeting with some folks there's going to be an extra school building in the small town, and it has great interest from the seniors because they need to enlarge their facility, and it might even make it possible for the existing seniors to enlarge into that facility and use the current facility for assisted living. And so that would be very good for that community. The recreation facility that was housed in that school can no longer be housed there, and so they're looking for a place. Recreation in terms of maybe what's been described, but also a place to house activities and other things. Early childhood was dislocated. Head Start, those folks don't have really a place to go unless they can figure out some way through joint powers or through perhaps the efforts of this bill to provide some housing for early childhood and Head Start. Boys and Girls Club, another very important in that community in regard to child care and enabling people to drive further to work. Perhaps could be dislocated if we don't make some other provision. After-school programs, and some of these were provided through SIG grants and others, but still don't fall clearly within the definition of what schools can provide, these people would be dislocated. Some of these communities need a common space in which they can meet in large gatherings. And you know some, in many instances how communities can become kind of divided and split on issues and turf battles arise. And if we don't have a place where all these people can come together, so to speak, face-to-face, so to speak, and eye-to-eye, they no longer enjoy that ability that we have here in order to work themselves through that. So I would think that if you would support the additional appropriation, which the original appropriation was about $30 million, we're down to $5 million, now we're trying to get back to $10 million. I think $10 million is probably, talking with a lot of people around the state, there's a huge need. I've just spelled out my own local need, but this goes across the state. Maybe the stories are the same. But I think we need to show that we're serious about this, and I think it's going to take the $10 million to demonstrate that we are, in fact, serious so that we can get out there and really get started with these things and, I think, fill a void that perhaps needs to be filled in regard to not only restoring some of these small rural communities but enable them to stay intact and make them the healthy, viable place to live that we want them to be. And so I would urge your support of both the bill and the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the amendment, committee on the whole, number one, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm not too fond of this bill. And it's because it is really moved away from the process that the governor of this state talked about when he was discussing his State of the State address. And that was very moving when we talked about the fact that in small towns all across Wyoming, in big towns too, that our new school capital construction program and the declining number of students means that we're building schools that are smaller than they used to be, which has created a problem in these old buildings, these school buildings that are used by the community for all sorts of purposes. And all of you that live in Wyoming know what I'm talking about. When you go to the fairs that are held in the gym, the auditorium's the biggest place in town. I've been to funerals in Hudson at that gym on far too many occasions, but it's the biggest place in town. It's where we hold the funerals in Hudson. It's very important that we keep those kind of facilities alive and going. And that's part of this bill. But where did this bill go and get to work, acquire land, build new facilities, have all sorts of developments, build spray parks? Where did that go from helping a small town to take care of this school building that was going to be torn down if they didn't have an alternative? There is a program called Business Ready Communities. That program is receiving substantial more funding this year. And I think my memory doesn't fail me. I think it's over $11 million. You've heard about the things funded through that program.
Some of you offered criticisms about that program. And yet here, we've taken another and started a new program that doesn't focus on what we're all concerned about. It does in part, but it uses that as a stepping stone. Now, I would offer amendments on second reading to delete the ability to go after anything other than school or other surplus state buildings for renovation. And I would urge you to defeat the amendment. And if we can't achieve that, the amendment to narrow the scope of this program, we need to defeat this bill, because things have just gotten too crazy about what government can and cannot do.
Senator Scott.
Technical question on the amendment, really aimed at the Appropriations Committee. We passed this amendment and passed the bill. How will this be treated next year? Will the first half of the amendment, the $10 million, will that become part of the standard budget, or is that going to be in what you call exception budget these days? It used to be called expanded budget, but I think you changed the terminology. Is that something that's going to be a separable item that we'll vote on each year, or will it just sort of become automatically part of the standard budget? And same question on the second half of the amendment, which is ongoing, looks more like ongoing operating funds. Are we building something that is permanent, or are we building something that we're going to fund only when times are good and we can afford it?
Senator Hines.
It is my understanding that the large appropriation is a one-time appropriation, and maybe I will need to review that with staff and make sure that is correct. That was our intentions. Mr. Chairman, also in answering questions, say that I will rise and speak against this amendment. The first part, I guess I don't have that much concern because we've been talking about that, about where you want your priority. I will say that as this bill is written, I can see a lot of requests for funding under this, and to help all the communities, it's going to take a large amount of money. And perhaps then, as they get competing for it, the ones that many of us are thinking that we'd like to help, the smaller communities may get left out. But I am concerned and have questions on the second part of the amendment where it calls for the $252,000 appropriations to be used for personnel, marketing, research. It appears to me that this should have came in the regular budget. If they need more people to do this, how many people do they need? And, of course, these would be ongoing, if I'm understanding correctly. On a program like this, I'm concerned about what their plans are for marketing and for, in part, for research. I just feel like if we are going to appropriate $250,000, we'd better line item some of it so we know how much personnel we're talking about, their benefits. Are we going into marketing? What kind of marketing in this area? So I think at this time that I would certainly urge you to defeat this amendment, and we can look at further amendments, and if the sponsor feel these are really necessary, then let's get a little more details in them.
Discussion, Senator Scott.
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask us to divide the amendment at line 10. So the first division would be lines 1 through 10, and the second would be lines 11 through 18.
Chair rules that's divisible. The division number 1 is line 1 through 10, and division number 2 is lines 11 through 18. Would you like to address number 1 first?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, let's address number 1, the $10 million first. I would urge support of that amendment, and for the reasons just stated, then urge us to defeat the second portion next.
Okay, we're on division 1 to the committee. Senator, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge defeat of section 1 also. Let's look at what we're doing. I support the bill. I support the concept. But the comments made, I think, by the senator from Fremont County, I think, are right on track. You heard me refer to the spray part. That's in there because I did an amendment without clearly thinking through everything that was going and put recreation in there, never dreaming that it was that they were going to talk about anything but buildings and infrastructure. I take the blame for that. I don't want to go there again. If you'll turn to page 8 of the bill, you'll see the State Loan and Investment Board may adopt rules. I intend to bring a amendment on second reading if this passes that will say shall adopt rules. We just had a big discussion on a trust fund bill that was here, and once again we said let's go slow, let's get the rules in place so that we can then see and check what we're doing. It is going to take them a while to get everything up and running to distinguish what we should be doing with this bill and what some of the rules and regulations are going to be. I think $5 million is a start. By the time they're up and running doing it, I would suggest to you they can't distribute more than that until we're back here again, when we too will have a better idea of our financial condition, and we can then see the rules and regs. Because, fellow senators, that's where we go wrong very often, is we're pumping the money in, and as I said on the other bill, saying go out and do good things. I want to see the rules. I want to see the regulations. I want to see what everything is going on. At that time, I think this is a good program, particularly for the small communities, a good program to let them buy and refurbish old schools and other community buildings. But I think $5 million is plenty at this time until we see exactly what's going to happen with the rules and regulations, and I would urge you to defeat that part of the amendment.
Further discussion on Division 1 to the amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a technical point. I believe lines 2 and 3 need to go with the second division, and that would be lines 11 through 18.
I concur with you that so if the sponsor of the division agrees that we'll make lines 1 and 2 part of division number 2, so the division number 1 is lines 3 through 10. Further discussion on division number 1? There being none, the question on the floor is all those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt division number 1 to committee of the whole number 1, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division number 1 has failed the committee of the whole. We're back now on division number 2. Any discussion on division number 2? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I urge your support for division number 2. I think what you're going to find as we set up this program, that particularly if you want to go in and have a program that's relevant, particularly the smaller communities. They don't have a staff, they can't afford a staff, to lay out a plan for development, to say this makes sense, this is what we can do. It doesn't matter whether it's new construction or a school building. Those small communities do not have the resources to lay out an economic plan, to fit it in for the quality of life and all the things envisioned in this bill. My view is that the Business Council is very receptive to trying to help these small communities do exactly that. And the beauty of it is you'll get one person at the state level who can go out and help 10 or 12 or 20 of our small towns and develop these programs rather than trying to set up an office in each small town, which really doesn't make sense in terms of efficient use of resources, nor does it tap into the expertise that we want them to have when they start spending this money. It does, in fact, add to the Business Council, but my experience is the Business Council doesn't mind sending someone out to help these towns and help them lay out a plan and then execute on the plan. I urge you to adopt this amendment.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I too would urge you to adopt the amendment for all the reasons just given by the Majority Floor Leader, but
you know, many times when these small communities need some help in terms of establishing a feasibility study, whether or not it is feasible for them to take this building, maintain it, and keep it over time and keep it in good repair, and sometimes they need assistance in order to do those kinds of studies. Also, when we talk about all the, I read off a kind of a litany of, you know, seniors and recreation and all the things that are involved with these things, they need in many instances help, legal assistance, assistance from business council and others to how to organize themselves in a joint powers effort, and then how to clearly establish the rules and the responsibility of how those groups operate together to get this done. So I think that this is important that we provide this as good startup. As a good senator said, we need this in order to give a good counsel to the other to the small communities. And then the failure of the past amendment, that brings us back to the original amendment of $5 million. I think with this and that, probably we will have a good bill that can go out and deliver some real service to these small communities. I would hope you would support the second part of the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still concerned with the way the amendment is written, not so much that they don't, I don't know what their administrative staff currently is in the business council, but I know they have several people and they also have different experts in marketing and consulting in all these areas. And so I'm still opposed to this amendment as it's written. If these are really needed, let's have an amendment that says how many personnel they're going to request, because I'm sure this is ongoing if they want it to be ongoing. But let's get it down where we really know rather than just a extra $250,000 in here and very limited instructions.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, if you look at your business council budget, it does not specify numbers of employees. It does not specify wage rates. None of the things that you normally see in a budget for a state agency applies to the business council. If we go in and start specifying numbers of employees or pay rate, that will be a total change in that budget. We have never, ever done that before. We have turned them loose to contract for these people, and they are all contract employees, but that's the way that budget's structured.
Further discussion on amendment number two, division number two. You ready for the question? The question, all those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt division number two to committee of the whole number one consisting of lines 1 and 2 and 11 through 18, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division number two to committee of the whole number one has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none. Senator Vasey, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just a question for the sponsor and to set the scenario for where the question comes. In the Water Commission, the Select Water Commission and the Select Water Committee, we're starting to see more and more requests for recreational situations with towns and things like that. And quite frankly, in the statutes and in the rules, it says that recreation is a beneficial use for of water. But I think the original authors probably were looking for boating and fishing and things like that. And now we're starting to see. I guess my question then is how far out in the stream do you want to go with this? As an individual who's now on the Select Water, I'd love to see you take all the recreation. We'd rewrite that, but that's a fair chunk. So I guess just some idea of what you envision when it talks about swimming and recreation and things like that, where you want to go with this.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in an attempt to answer that question, I think you have to go back to the title of this. This is facilities, community facilities. And in essence, the intent of this bill is for those kinds of building structures that would enhance the quality of life in a particular community. Where it gets a little bit different is when we start talking about the infrastructure and some of that. I think when you look at it, we're talking about demonstrated need for a community facility. And so I don't think that this gets into the area of the issues that the good senator from Carbon County is talking about with regards to how the needs that are being presented through the Water Commission.
Further discussion on the bill? You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate file number 71, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate file 71 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate file 93. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I don't know if this is not a motion. Senator Townsend.
Question.
All those in favor, is that a motion? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor of the committee, the whole begging and leave rise to sit again, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Mr. President, it's about time to go find some more artwork for your balance.
Senator Townsend.
Mr. President, may I have a privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
Thank you. The Senate, I would like to announce the other half of our eighth grade class at Newcastle, and this time they're on the west side of the gallery.
Thank you, and welcome to the upper chamber. Messages from the House.
February the 7th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 152, Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives, repeal. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 292, Wyoming Energy Commission. Ayes 58, no 1, excused 1. February the 7th, 2005, from the House of Representatives. Third reading passed amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 69, Public Transit Account Appropriation. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 155, Uniform Management of Public Employees Retirement Account. Ayes 57, no 2, excused 1. House Bill number 193, Wyoming Real Estate Commission Amendments. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 228, School Finance Model Recalibration. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 260, DUI Child Endangerment. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 277, Wyoming Partnership Challenge Loan Program. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 185, School Finance, Employee Compensation and Development. Ayes 59, no 1, excused 1. Wait a minute, what did I say? Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 196, Divorce Actions, Parenting Classes. Ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1. House Bill number 233, Hospitals, Liability Coverage. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. And House Bill number 272, Coal Beneficiation Facilities Tax Exemption. Ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. Gerald W. Fox, House Chief Clerk.
Standing committee reports.
February the 4th, 2005, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 144, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Ullman, Barrasso, DiCaria, Massey, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
Any announcements? Senator Hawks.
Mr. President, your committee number 9 will meet at 12:10, 10 after 12, to consider House Bill 129, engrossed, conservation districts.
Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, I hope everyone read the first page of the little fire drill notice, because sometime this week we're actually going to have a fire drill, and you really might want to know how to get out of the building. So please review this and stand ready for the rest of the week.
Senator Peck.
Mr. President, Revenue Committee is going to take up House Bill 5, the redistribution of service tax. And we're not going to do it on Tuesday, but it works on Thursday morning.
Any further announcements? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Tuesday, tomorrow morning, at 8 a.m., when we will take up House Bill 56, Adjutant General Salary, HB 179, Engrossed, Alcohol Beverage Acceptable Forms of Identification, and HB 28, Snowmobile Registration and User Fees.
Any other announcements? The motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate is in recess until 2 p.m.